We are now live, baby.
Hello, Kratom users out there, 7-0 fans. This is the first ever Test My Kratom podcast. I am Tony. I help out Jay with lab testing.
And also our audio engineer for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, our makeshift audio engineer for our first ever podcast.
Everyone, I'm Jay. I run Test My Kratom. Have been running it for the last year and a half, nearly 2 years that we've been publishing lab results, doing all that good stuff. Yeah, started out as just a guy in the industry who wanted to see what was actually in these tabs that people were buying. And towards the end of last year, started working with brands and people like Tim on 7vox. And as of January, we're selling our own tabs. So now been doing a bunch of work just trying to provide some safe, high quality tabs to the community. And that's what I've been grinding on.
Nice. And I am Tim Franks. I am one of the co-founders of 7-0 Black. We got into the industry right as things were like just starting to pick up. So towards the end of 2024, I was using it myself. I grew up skateboarding and had gotten in several snowboarding accidents. Opiates didn't really work super well and they were hard to get. And then I found Kratom and Metrogenine. Definitely got, you know, the wobbles quite a few times, but somehow came upon 7-0 and it was just like a godsend, like God's miracle drug. So, you know, started taking that and it was very expensive. So, you know, thought like, why not try and start this company? Basically through Reddit, saw that I could validate the business idea, saw a couple of people that had tried to do it before, just asking, you know, people. I just like identified what the needs were across the community. And it was like good quality product for a price that's just like not price gouging, you know? So that's where Mel and myself started from. And so back in 2024, we took a $6,000 investment and turned it into like a company producing over $1 million in revenue within the first 6 months. It was crazy to say the least. It's been a wild ride. And so we've grown a lot since then, and always too, like some things have happened with 7-0 Black. Like I'm sure a lot of your listeners will probably be aware, and that's kind of partly what we're going to go into today with things that have occurred. But, you know, I created 7-0 Black with Mel from like a community perspective, like always thinking about what can be better for this community. A lot of the things that I loved about, you know, selling the product, it did make us a lot of money and that was great. But like actually connecting with the customers and like getting to know them a little bit and seeing if I could just make a difference in people's lives. And there were definitely some people where it was like, yeah, people just need to hear nice things sometimes to like remember that they're cared for. And so that was something that I really loved about it. And, you know, right now it's kind of tough with the regulation like looming over us. No one really knows exactly what's going to happen. It's probably going to get federally scheduled, but we shall see. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, it's a really interesting time to live in where, I mean, honestly, I feel like for the past year, it's always felt like Kratom in general, but especially 7-0 has been on the chopping block. And yeah, in July, I think it was announced that the FDA recommended to get scheduled. And since then, it feels like every week, every month, there's something coming down the pike and you don't know if it's real, you don't know if it's fake. And yeah, when I was just running Test My Kratom, I was a little bit more distant from it because I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen with it. But I think ever since I started basically selling my own tablets, it becomes like a different calculus of like, you know, you're planning for a supply chain, you're making tablets, but you don't really know at what point in time all this inventory you have, all the stuff you're shipping, yeah, all these people you're helping, you don't know at what point in time the hammer drops. And so definitely a really crazy time to be working in the industry. And it's really too bad for all the people who have been positively affected by Kratom to not know what day or what week or what month their sort of source of pain relief is just gonna like become a narcotic. And yeah, definitely like a scary time for a lot of people who rely on this for quality of life.
Yeah, it is for sure. I mean, you go on Reddit and you see posts from people and it's just so blatantly clear that if they were to pull the plug on this in actually make it a Schedule One substance, I mean, people would be going right back to the street and doing fentanyl. And it's definitely, I haven't seen the statistics. I know that it has definitely reduced the total opioid related overdoses. It would be so interested to see the actual figures of how many lives it has actually saved.
I mean, we're actually kind of seeing that on a smaller scale where fentanyl deaths are up something like 300% in Florida since they started their ban.
Yeah.
You know, who knows how much of that would have been prevented with kratom, but it's definitely more than nothing.
Yeah, most definitely. I personally have not myself, but I know a lot of people and a lot of people in the community have tried MGM, at least MGM 15. Have either one of you guys tried that? And I've heard like some horror stories, but honestly, I've heard a lot of positive things from it too. Like time in between doses goes up substantially, maybe even like 2 to 3x. What have you guys heard?
Yeah, I haven't actually tried it myself. MGM is a really, it's an interesting thing where it's not super well studied. And I feel like the, at least scientific piece of it that we do know is not super encouraging, but just anecdotally, I think it is a really good alternative for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest issues I have with it though is the impact it has on people's tolerances. There's so many anecdotes of MGM just like burning out people's tolerances. And so I have a particular issue with brands who put MGM in tablets but don't advertise it because I feel like that's sort of a way for them to like make their users more addicted, more dependent, and have to spend more and more money buying more and more of it. And so I am totally okay living in a world where we study it a little bit more responsibly and understand what it does and allow consumers to choose what they put in their body. But I think that right now, MGM has a very dangerous place in the kratom world.
Yeah. Is it true too that it is a full agonist, so it actually can cause respiratory depression? Or is that not? Is that MGM 16 that's a full agonist?
Yeah, that's MGM 16. It seems like from a respiratory receptor perspective, MGM 15 seems to have a pretty similar safety profile to 7.
Okay. I also too, and I don't have the facts or personal experience to back it up, but I saw on Reddit that if you switch from 7 to MGM, then if you were to try going off of it altogether, say with like SR, it wouldn't actually work for MGM. Whereas like, you know, I was taking 7 and I was able to get off it by taking SR really, really well, like surprisingly well. I thought I would have at least some withdrawals, but I really didn't, because if you guys have taken 7-0 before, you know how bad the withdrawals can be. It feels like you're dying. You don't want to do anything. And so it was crazy to me that the SR worked so well.
Can I ask you, Tim, at your peak, how much 7-0 were you taking per day?
I was pretty bad and I wouldn't really measure it. I would just like take a big scoop of powder and put it under my tongue and just have it sit in there. A couple of those per day. I think there were probably days where I would take like a full gram worth of it just because like my tolerance was sky high. So I wouldn't even feel it almost be a waste, but I had so much of it. And so, yeah, it was pretty bad for a while.
It's also like such a difficult thing to have discipline on when you have a company that does it. So it's all, you know, you're getting the best of the best for cheap.
For sure. And the fact that you can't overdose from it. I mean, like, you know, thank God.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. So do you still take it, or what were you able to come back from that sort of full gram dosage?
Yeah. So I do still take it, but nowhere near like the amount that I used to. Like, for example, today I haven't taken any, but I do take the SR tablets too. So like I can go a long time in between dosing, whereas like before I would have to take it pretty much as soon as I woke up, sometimes like get withdrawals, like even in the middle of the night, and then dose, you know, at least 3 to 4 times throughout the day. But now I take it maybe once or twice a day in like a smaller amount. Mm-hmm. I still don't really take tablets. I don't like tablets for some reason.
Really?
Usually just stick with powder. Yeah, I don't know why that is exactly, but I just don't like them. But yeah, I still take it.
I would love to send you some of our tabs and get your thoughts.
Yeah.
I know you'll make an exception for us, right, Tim?
Yeah, of course I would. I can still tell a good tablet for sure.
Yeah, I mean, 7-0 Black has put out so many different tablets, I imagine. I mean, at the height of 7-0 Black, you guys probably had like 30, 40 SKUs going at a time, yeah?
Maybe not quite that many, but it did seem like a lot. I would say probably between 17, maybe up to mid-20s. I don't know if we were quite in the 30s, but yeah, we did have at least 12 to 15 different tablets and then maybe 5 or 6 even, yeah, different powders at one time and then strips. So up there.
Yeah.
But 30 is a shit ton. And I think too, it's funny because of course, if it's a flavor that you don't like, you're probably not going to want to order it. But at the end of the day, you know, I figure everyone's really just doing the dollar per milligram calculation and going with that.
Yeah, it has been an interesting experience of like, you know, spending time trying to come up with a flavor I'm really happy with and like a bottle and product and design and everything like that. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, like you post about it and people say, I don't give a shit because I could find this other company who has like, you know, they're like a quarter of a penny cheaper price per milligram. So like your tabs are too expensive. And it's like, I mean, one of the things I kind of have learned from testing and hopefully other people have learned from our testing is not all 15 milligram tablets are, you know, made equal. And so, yeah, it definitely is an interesting experience for me sort of having been on the testing side of things and then worked a lot more closely in the past few months with consumers to understand like what do people actually care about? What are they looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Just along the way, trying to put out something that's pretty high quality.
Yeah, definitely. What has your guys' process been for trying to figure out what the people want? Like, do you, because I know that you have quite a big following, Jay and Tony, like, do you guys have like a Discord? Like, how are you connecting with the community? Is it mostly through Reddit? I'm guessing you have a newsletter too. Like, what all are you guys doing?
Yeah, so we have a Substack, and that's how we sort of like started and like posted on Reddit.
Okay.
I also just on the TMK email, if anyone has ever emailed me at tmk@testmcram.org, like I answer all those emails. And so I make it a point to just make sure that I stay on top of that inbox so that I could talk to everyone and sort of get feedback on how we're doing, what people want. But yeah, Reddit is definitely the biggest community for Kratom, because as you know, you can't really advertise on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, any of that. And Reddit has been like a really just great place for discourse. At least it started as that.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what you're going to find on there nowadays.
And actually, I don't know if I told you this, but actually in the past couple weeks, well, once we started selling our own tabs, we noticed we are getting a lot more pushback in the main subreddit, or what used to be the main subreddit, which is r/7-hydroxymetragynine.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I really haven't done much beyond posting labs. But yeah, in the past week, I actually just got like permanently banned from that subreddit. And, you know, there's been a lot of rumors for a very long time about who runs that subreddit.
7-Ohms.
Yeah, exactly. And whether 7-Ohms is, you know, restricting information. And yeah, for a while we were just testing and just sending test results. And apparently that was okay with the powers that be. But yeah, now that we are selling our own tablets, we're permanently banned from that one. And so,
yeah.
Yeah. And it's also been interesting for all the people who suspected and accused for so long that TMK was run by 7-Ohms. Like, we are now banned from that subreddit. So I'm not sure what else to say there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not always easy to find a place for truly open Discord, but Reddit has been and remains still the best place to find all the information and have those conversations.
Yeah, agreed. It's very entertaining.
So you know, Reddit is kind of like, as Jay is saying, kind of like where the discourse happens. And so I am so curious from your perspective, Tim, like, I assume you're not unaware of all the discourse about 7-0 Black as kind of like the last month or two has unfolded. I'm curious, like, what has it been like for you to like see people talking about your brand and like asking what happened, what's going on, like where you have all the answers, you have all the data, you kind of live through it, and then you're seeing other people talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, a wide range of feelings, to put it lightly. Yeah, I felt very frustrated. I've even like made some comments on there, like, kind of, you know, I kind of realized, like, what's the point of making comments on there? Because people are just going to see it like, well, maybe he's lying too. So I figured this was just a great opportunity to like really set the record straight and tell my story, because I haven't really gotten any opportunity to do that so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's felt terrible. You know, like, I worked with all of those people that run Crayleaf now, and for whatever reason, they decided that it was the right move to uproot the entire company while I was away on business in Asia, and basically lock me out of all of our systems without me knowing about it, and it just putting an end to all communication, or lack thereof, because I wasn't really getting a whole lot of communication for a while anyway. But yeah, I mean, I had to cut that trip short, come back home. There was, you know, at least a million or two worth of physical inventory that had been taken to a new location without my authorization. The bank froze all of the cash that was in there, although they had pulled out, you know, a lot of the cash that was in there. And then even went as far as to say on the site that they couldn't ship orders because I was the one who stopped the bank account, when no, that happened because you guys locked me out of the bank. And when I tried to get back in, they froze the account because I'm the majority shareholder. So yeah, there were a lot of very frustrating things, and all of this, it could have been solved by actually just communicating with me, because I'm a pretty easygoing, like, nice guy. Like, I will listen to people. I never told anyone at that company, no, I was always encouraging. I let them run most of the day to day. Milad and I, you know, we kind of graduated from building the company, and we let it up to Charles and Carlos, and then Bridget and several other people to take it over. But by no means was I like relinquishing my ownership of it. But they chose to see it in that way and just decided, like, well, we're just going to cut Tim out and fuck you. So.
Yeah, it was like a really crazy thing to experience, and I guess to just observe. I think maybe a lot of people think that, like, because I'm Jay and because I'm Testament Kratom, I have some sort of inside track on what's going on in the world. But I kind of found out about this 7-0 Black drama the same way everyone else did, which is just reading Reddit and looking at posts.
Yeah.
So let me actually just, like, sort of, for anyone who's not really familiar, not really on Reddit, not really understand what's happening, give you my perspective of, like, what I saw and how it unfolded from maybe like the layperson's point of view, and you can kind of provide a perspective on what's right and what's wrong there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I kind of just opened Reddit one day and people were posting like 7-0 Black is down. What's going on with 7-0 Black? And it was like the website was down. No one knew what was going on. Everyone was like, I placed an order. It's not going out. No one's responding to an email. And then later that night, there was like a response or like a message on the board. They basically said, like, we're down for right now. 7-0 Black is being held hostage by Tim. We're moving over to another site. Like, we're going to get all orders out. It's going to be on another website called Crayleaf. And at first I was like, is Crayleaf some sort of like third party who's like helping fulfill orders? And then it was like 7-0 Black is now 7-0 Black. And then 7-0 Black is now Crayleaf. Mm-hmm. And then those were sort of like the big picture messages. And then people from 7-0 Black, I think Danny is one of the people who would respond to Reddit comments.
Yeah.
And he was saying stuff like, Tim is holding the site hostage. He like froze the bank accounts. Like, we can't pay our people. We can't pay our vendors. Like, everything is locked out, but we're like getting orders out. We're doing everything we can. And I was like, wow, like this seems to have taken everyone by surprise. But then 12 hours later, there's a brand new site. It's clearly up. It's clearly been worked on. And from my perspective, I'm like, this is not a 12-hour job. Like, something has been in the works for a long time. And a switch was flipped in the past day. And then I guess from then on, it felt like to some degree, Crayleaf started operating a little bit business as usual, but with like the very clear understanding that the who they called the former owners, which is you and Mel, are no longer in the picture. So then it was like, you know, was this like a Mel and Tim versus the company? Was this like Mel versus Tim versus Charles? Like there was a lot of just murky understanding of what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's how it would seem from anyone's eyes looking at it. I mean, they were the first one to make note of what was going on. It's crazy that you say that. And it's even crazier that Charles, he texted me saying that this was something that he had been planning for months, which is like, dude, how would you say that in a text message? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I mean, apparently he had, and I guess they had concocted some narrative that I was like high out of my mind on drugs, like needed to go to rehab, unfit to run the company, like just basically crafting a narrative that I was, yeah, unfit to run the company. And so they got, I mean, Charles, I guess he's just a very convincing guy in some respects to the team, where they're just very, very porous and easily manipulated. But yeah, I didn't really expect this. But yeah, he kind of masterminded the whole thing. And so when I was away, it was just like, boom, it's go time. And it actually happened right when we were going to have, like, you know, we have a lot of employees or contractors that work, you know, not in California where we're all located, but across the country. And then even a couple girls that we hired out of Colombia. And so a lot of them had come to visit, and this was, you know, right around the time that I was taking the trip. And so Charles, with them all in person, just got them all to turn against me and just like fast tracked this move to a completely new company. And then, yeah, completely just dragged my name through the mud on the website, stating that I was responsible for all of the issues that they were incurring. And it couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, it's so insane that, like, Charles, when I hired him, he was like, you know what, I want to help you build this company. And he did, you know, he did do a great job of that. But like, I asked him what he wanted. And he's like, you know, it would be great. Like, my wish is to earn $250,000 per year. I was like, dude, we're definitely going to make that happen. And so, you know, we started paying him in smaller amounts, but like, because he worked hard and did a good job, as did Carlos, you know, we continued to pay them more and more. And just before this whole fucking shitstorm happened, like, I probably shouldn't be sharing this, but I will, because I just don't really give a fuck. Their annualized salary was like well over 400K on an annual basis. So way more than like what they should have been paid. And, you know, they could smoke blunts all day and pretty much chill as they were working. Like, they worked hard and did a great job. But like, dude, the atmosphere that was provided for these people is like exactly what they envisioned, what they wanted. And yet they still found a way to just be unhappy about this. And I think it kind of just comes down to greed in a sense. And just, I don't know the rest of it, but man, it threw me for a curveball. And I've only, like, dude, this past March was one of the hardest months of my life. It was so tough to just get out of bed in the morning. Like, what am I doing? Like, now I'm like, you know, I'm on my feet. Like, I know what I'm doing moving into the future. I feel good about where I'm at. And like, thank God that I'm no longer working with the people that I used to work with. So it's a blessing in disguise. But man, like, this shouldn't have to happen to anyone. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's so crazy. And also, you're talking about, you know, the company environment. One of the things that I think is really interesting about 70 Black is you guys have or had a company house in San Diego. So were all you guys living under the same roof as this was unfolding?
No. It's technically in Cardiff too. So San Diego County, but not San Diego City. Otherwise it would be illegal. Yeah, but it's all good. So yeah, I lived here with two of the guys. So Carlos, and then Carlos's brother was also working with us. And then we had some other people live with us in the house. Sometimes people that were working for us. So they would come and like stay for a time. But really, it was me and Carlos and then his brother, Adrian. And then we would have a bunch of people show up to the house every day. And then we would, you know, everyone would do some co-packing or fulfillment. So depending on what was needed. But yeah, it was a pretty well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. We had a beautiful view of the Pacific Ocean. We're kind of like perched atop a hill overlooking the ocean in Southern California. It's like, it couldn't be much better than this.
Yeah. It definitely sounds like you feel like you did kind of your part to create the kind of dream work environment for people.
Totally.
So, okay, this is more my ignorance because I think Jay is way more kind of in the know than me. But so it sounds like the main players here are you, Charles, and then for Mel, who also goes by Milad, where was Mel during all this?
Well, he wasn't really involved with 70 Black a whole lot for the past 8 or 9 months, I would say. He was dealing with several different things, some pretty severe health issues, both on like himself and his father, who is pretty close to passing away, unfortunately, because he has dementia. And so he just had a lot going on and, you know, wasn't really able to contribute to like 70 Black necessarily. Mm. You know, so we tried to give him go ahead.
Yeah, so I guess within the context of the company, was he more like willingly stepping away versus you, who you feel like you're a little forced out?
Well, I mean, he was willingly stepping away. I think that it's tough because, you know, he was very sick, and when he would contribute, sometimes it would be just not in the way that we needed him to contribute. Like, we would need better communication and organization on things, like say if we're ordering stuff related to packaging because we wanted to get into smoke shops, for example, and we need professional mm-hmm. packaging, like going through Asia and doing all that stuff and, like, you know, not keeping us updated on that. That's just like one example. Yeah, I mean, like, he did kind of willingly step away, but he still wanted to be part of the company and earning money from it, right? Of course.
For sure.
You know, he's actually one of my best friends. Like, I grew up with him. I went to high school with him. And so, like, it was different, like, him and me, you know, starting it as the co-founders, and then Charles and Carlos, who came on board and really did, like, the bulk of the work from, like, a day-to-day standpoint in the operation. So I do give them that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Like, Mel and I started the company. We're the two who own it. And we call the shots. You can't just be a minority owner and then say that, oh, now you own all of the company. So that's kind of what they tried to do. Yeah.
I mean, that's a good point, which is like legally, you know, like if they really just took the company, took the inventory, like that's kind of like a jail type act, right? Like, why is there not? 100%. Why is there not more?
Yeah, the only reason why is because of the product that it is. If it were anything else, yeah, they'd be in prison. Hmm. But because it's Kratom and it's sort of a gray area, I mean, I'm working with lawyers right now. They have lawyers too, and I don't know what this all will amount to. I've kind of just, you know, I'm no longer tied to any specific outcome where I was for a while. And it was taking a lot away from me. There will be some thing reached and neither side is really gonna like it. But I think, you know, they clearly didn't want to work with me, and I sure as hell don't want to work with those people. So, you know, at the end of the day, we're all getting what we want, but yeah, there's no world where what they chose to do is looked at from any angle as the right thing to have done.
Do you feel like you were completely blindsided, or like the relationship had been kind of tense for a bit and you saw this?
100%. 100%. I was blindsided. I did not receive any word of this from anyone. Well, no, I mean, I made it a point to like check in with them and like ask them, what do you need me to do like to support you on this? Like, I had my ideas of how I wanted things to go. Like, I'll just give you an example. It took so long for us to get out of doing single gram jars to like 5 grams, 10 grams, 20 grams. And like, I had been trying to push for it for so long. And it was just so difficult to like get them to change. But like, finally we did. And then it drastically increased sales and dropped off the amount of human capital input needed to do single gram jars for a kilo or multiple of powder. Right. So yeah, like, I think we were on different wavelengths in terms of where we wanted to take the company. And so like, there was definitely some frustration from that circumstance. And, you know, Milad and Charles really hated each other. I mean, I now hate Charles too. I think he's an absolute piece of shit. Has a personality of like a ballpoint pen. His words sound like chalkboard, like nails on a chalkboard. It's just, I don't get it. But yeah, man, they would just bicker back and forth. And so like, yeah, that also kind of caused me to want to diversify for my own sake and kind of focus on other opportunities. So like, I was on a business trip to Asia for another opportunity that I am pursuing in e-commerce. But yeah, I think like there was no communication from them. Like Carlos in particular, like I would hang out with them on like a near daily basis for at least a few minutes. The guy never asked me like for anything, really. And I would be like, Carlos, what do you need? What do you need me to do? And I would like work super late at night and I would help them. I would fill up like 5 gram, 10 gram, 20 gram jars of powder. It's like, I always said that I would do that for them if they promised to like get multi-gram jars in our product mix. And so I did do that, but no, like Charles never communicated shit to me. I kind of like had the idea that they didn't really respect me towards the end. Like they wouldn't pick up my phone calls sometimes or just like would like brush off things that I would say. And, you know, I wouldn't think too much of it, but maybe I should have thought more of it. But like, I tried to be very transparent because that's just how I am. Like, I want you to tell me how things are, you know, that's the way I'll deal with you. And so I was completely blindsided by it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you feel like you're kind of like the nice guy that got taken advantage of here.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, okay, I want to go back to something you said earlier about how you kind of, when all this went down, you were getting your name dragged through the mud and people were saying things on Reddit. And one of the things that was kind of coming up a lot, and we've actually had like people email into TMK like asking if this is true, but like, you know, there were a lot of suppositions about your drug use at the time and how that potentially kind of led to a difficult work environment with you. And I'm curious, like, for the record, like, I know you were taking 7, but yeah, like, what was kind of your, like, drug use and how much of an impact do you think that had?
Well, for me, I mean, I never thought it was terribly out of control at all. I mean, I would, like, go throughout my day and nothing, like, crazy would happen. And I don't think I was like super messed up, or I'm like caught off guard by people saying these things because, you know, of course, if you're messed up on drugs, it's not like you're really going to have a memory of things anyway. But it's so funny. Like one of the things Charles said to me when I kind of gave him a little snide remark of like, dude, you talk so inefficiently. You just and ah and go so slow through things. And he actually had the audacity to say like, no, Tim, I talk slow to you because I'm trying to read your face when I tell you these things because, you know, I know that you have no memory when I say things. Like that's something that he would say for Mel, and I could understand that. But for me, I never, ever felt like that was the case. And I never got that feedback from anyone else in my life. And none of these guys ever, and girls, like, you know, Bridget included too, none of them ever approached me and like took me aside and said anything about it. Not one single time. And so for them to say all this stuff, it's silly. It's incredulous. I don't know if that's a word for this, but like, I am beside myself. I have no idea why they felt like that was reality. because I think that is so far from the case.
Yeah. Where do you think they're coming from?
I honestly have no idea. I really don't know.
Have you and Charles talked since?
No, not on the phone, not in person. We have texted a little bit, but just because we have lawyers involved in the situation, which sucks too. No, we really haven't spoken, but I'm completely caught off guard by all of this stuff. I mean, the communication on their behalf was non-existent.
Dang. Well, I'm sorry that that's sort of how things unfolded. I mean, yeah, when I first, you know, got into the Seven world, you guys were like the online D2C brand, just like crushing everyone's prices. And then when we started doing Sevenbox, you guys were the very first brand to work with us and were like so generous. And so it's really just been sad from my perspective to see such a great thing have to end this way.
Yeah, I know. It really is. I don't know what's going on in their minds. But like I said earlier too, like I'm grateful that I don't have to work with those people ever again. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious. I was on Reddit maybe a few weeks ago, and you know, there was a one of many more threads about what is Crayleaf is, you know, or Tim and Mel gone was whatever. And I saw a comment or reply from you, and you basically said, yeah, I'm not with it anymore. You know, they kind of took the company and ran with it, but things are in the works, so stay tuned. I'm curious, are you able to talk at all about what sort of you've been working on and where the community might see you next?
Yeah. So as long as Seven is legal, I am going to continue selling it. So I've got a company called Favored Alks, like Favored Alkaloids. So FAVOR'D and then ALKZ. So it's favoredalks.com. So that's going to go live probably this week.
Oh.
Yeah. And then 7-0 Black, eventually, I'm kind of actually working with Mel on this to get the domain back. So I'll probably use that one as well. So have two different sites for 7. And then, you know, there's tons of different gray market products that I'm interested in as well. So like not just Metrogenine and Pseudo, but like things like maybe Kava or Canna in that kind of like area. There's even like 4-HO MET where it feels kind of like psilocybin, but it's non-detect mushroom, like something like that, because there's payment processors out there that are cool with it. And then also another thing that I've been really, really into lately that I'm planning to launch a site with is peptides. Have you guys heard about those or tried those at all?
Yeah, I have heard about them. I feel like I've heard from more than one person, like vendors or people in the kratom world sort of pivoting towards peptides. Yeah, definitely, you know, for people who maybe aren't as familiar, could you kind of explain what those are and what a few popular ones they might have heard of are?
Yeah, absolutely. So peptide is just a chain of amino acids, basically. And they are kind of geared for like a specific bodily function, right? So they've got peptides for a wide variety of things. You know, recently, all the people that have lost weight with something like Ozempic, that's a GLP-1. So that's a peptide. And they've, you know, gotten much better since then. So like there's different really categories that you could look at it. So like a GLP is a weight loss our weight management peptide, and then there's multiple layers on that. So there's GLP, GIP, and then glucagon. So there's like different hormones that are within your body, and like, you know, the peptide goes in and basically just tells these hormones how to kind of, you know, react. And so there's like a like a GLP kind of like slows down your digestion and kind of it keeps you fuller longer so that you don't want to eat. And then I think GIP, which is like tirzepatide, and the GLP-1, like also a little bit of that, but more advanced. And then there's a newer one called retatrutide, which has the glucagon component to it. So it's like a triple agonist. And that actually is almost like a longevity peptide because it really eliminates inflammation, like very, very much so, reduces inflammation in the body, which is like, you know, one of the biggest factors for like age related and like all diseases. And so that's going to be revolutionary. And then there's tons of different peptides for like nootropics. There's like Cimax and Solank.
Right. Yeah. Those are for like focus and sleep. And
yeah.
You mentioned are sort of the popular weight loss ones, but yeah, there's really good ones for, or at least anecdotally, very effective ones for muscle building, for better sleep, for sexual performance. Yeah. Actually, one of the ones that I'm really interested to see if it pans out is there's one that's still being studied a little bit, but it could potentially help rewire the reward system for people who are getting through addiction to basically make just recovering from, you know, addiction to any substance like a lot easier. So yeah, definitely a lot of really interesting things happening. It feels like the peptide world is so young and kind of the Wild West. And it reminds me a little bit of what 7-0 was 2 years ago.
Definitely. And it's going to be, you know, on a much bigger scale too. So
are you thinking that Favored Alex is going to be a sort of general gray market e-commerce platform that sells everything from peptides to 7-0 to, you know, anything else that flies?
Not necessarily peptides for Favored Alex. Favored Alex is going to be, you know, pretty much fully focused on 7 for right now with like more gray market expansion, but not into peptides. I think I'll kind of like draw the line there.
Mm-hmm.
And like the supplements, maybe do some types of supplements alongside peptides, or like also add peptide bioregulators if you're familiar with those along with peptides. But I'll keep those separate in terms of like entities or different sites.
Gotcha.
Good question.
That's cool. Well, we definitely want to see you succeed. So
thanks, Matt.
When your stuff's ready, we'll get it tested and we'll give you an A.
Well, only if it deserves one.
Not beating the allegations.
Hell yeah, guys. Well, it was great talking with you. Do you have anything else before we dip?
Yeah, I actually have one question. So just for the sake of sort of being able to have an even perspective, like we'd love to have a conversation with Charles and with Mel. Is there anything that you think we should ask them?
Yeah, if they want to have a conversation.
I mean, it's like you've been pretty like transparent, and we've asked some questions that probably were not super easy to answer, and I'd expect the same of them. So yeah, like, is there anything that you think, or that you would like an answer to, or that you think is like worth exploring in those conversations?
I mean, I don't know. I'm curious just what Charles would say, like why he felt that this was the right thing to do. And I said the things that he said to me with a straight face.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I think it's complete bullshit. Like I would love to ask him just straight up, like get him on here. I'll do one with him and we'll see kind of like where things are at. But also too, like, you know, I like felt so much hate and all this negative emotion towards him, like throughout all of March. And I'm like past that now. Like, I don't have time or the energy to like continue to hold a grudge against someone. Like he's just a different mind than I am, like about how to go about things. And like, I'm glad this has come through where I don't have to spend another waking moment of my life with him. So
yeah,
that's good.
I mean, we would love to kind of help facilitate a conversation. I feel like not just for you. I feel like for you and Charles, this would also be kind of great to like, you know, get on the same page or just have a conversation. But I think for the community, like 7-0 Black has had, you know, such a profound impact on the 7 world and for so many people. And so I feel like your customers deserve a better ending for 7-0 Black than what we've seen thus far.
100%. I couldn't agree more.
Well, yeah. Tim, thank you so much for coming on. This has been great.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. And yeah, from the bottom of my heart, you guys, and when you were with 7-0 Black, and I'm sure whatever you do next, like you really supported me at TMK, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Likewise, man. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great night.
All right. See you, Tim.
Bye.
See ya.